So, Polky, here we are once again.
We certainly are.
Time for another On The Record podcast.
That's
These are doing very well, you know. We've got two a week going out there. It's on Audio Boom. It's available through all sorts of different downloaded outlets.
And the numbers are growing.
The numbers are growing.
People
are tuning in. Well, it's a good opportunity for us to talk about some of the things which might be slightly too, shall we say...
Risqué.
A little salty, perhaps. And let's talk about Uma Thurman.
Now, talking about On The Record, right, guess who's just gone on the record on the Weinstein allegations?
Weinstein. Harvey.
And we have to stress, of course...
The sex addict.
These are all allegations.
Yeah, well, you know, we don't have to worry too much. I don't think Harvey Weinstein's coming after you Audio Boom, is
he? No. But the thing is, Uma Thurman, who I loved in Kill Bill.
Kill Bill.
Because she
I'm surprised that you, as a man who hasn't seen that many films, has actually seen Kill Bill. Because, it's a mainstream movie, but it's a little bit off to the side.
Yeah, it is. But, I mean, I like David Carradine.
Yeah?
I loved David Carradine when he was...
He's in Kung Fu.
Yeah. What was his name in Kung Fu?
Kane.
Kane.
You used to watch it every Sunday after the big match.
Well, Kane, you see, reminds me of myself. Kane is a man wandering the earth, right?
Taking on criminals up and down the land.
Well, I couldn't understand.
Actually, maybe you could turn into Charles Bronson after your encounter the other night.
What I was going to say is, I've never quite understood why Kane was wandering the earth, because he wasn't trying to convert people to any particular religion, because he was a Buddhist, wasn't he?
Well, he kind of became homeless, I think, did he not?
No. He went to spread the word. No. You've got to remember, he spent like 13 years from the age of 7 in the monastery.
Yes.
Grasshopper.
Yes.
You know,
see, if you do that on the radio now, generally speaking, that doesn't go out.
That's right,
because it's considered a bit racist.
Yeah, a grasshopper.
Yeah, you have to be careful.
What called somebody grasshopper? Because it was a line from
that's the world we live in now.
From the Kung Fu.
No, but that is now the world we live in.
But the thing
it's
with
difficult
Kane
to
is,
get used to.
I thought he was a bloody troublemaker, because wherever Kane went and started work somewhere, he organised like a union.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Did you not think he was kind of based on The Man With No Name, the Clint Eastwood
character?
Because he didn't really speak. I mean, more often than not, he would always go into a room and you knew that he didn't want to fight anyone, but he always ended up fighting them.
Yeah, because he would go and like join a railway group who were building a railway lines and all that. And after about, a few hours, he'd say, "We do not have enough food to produce enough energy to build this railway.
Yeah.
I will go and see the foreman."
Yes.
And then go and see the foreman, and the foreman would get somebody to lash him and lock him up in the hot...
Right.
The
foreman always smoked a cigarette.
That's right. And lock him up in what they call the sweat box, you know what I mean?
That's it.
And most people who were put in the sweat box, which was like a huge metal container, could only take one man, and he's locked in there for being insolent. And then usually they died within like about a day because the heat got up to about 120 degrees.
That's right, yeah.
But Kane came out the next day looking fresher than when he went in.
Yeah, well, he was because of the fact that he had been to see the grasshopper man or whatever his name was.
That's right, yeah.
The guru, right? And he told him that, you don't have to worry about the mere the physical relationships
that's
you have with the world.
Mm,
and you don't have to worry about the limitations that your body may have.
That's right.
You know, you are a higher being.
You are a higher being and you control your own destiny both in mind, spirit and body and all that kind of stuff. And and so when he came out, the foreman got really sort of upset then because he thought, "You're supposed to be half dead.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be short of water and all." But Kane wasn't,
It was a great show, actually.
And then when he worked in...
Do you know what's annoying, though, is that all these shows that we used to watch, right? Yeah. I mean, you can see them all now on television, but I've never seen that one. I've never seen Kung Fu being, revisited.
Yeah, some of them you don't these days,
I mean, you can watch Yes Minister as long as you like.
Yeah,
you can watch Fawlty Towers.
Yeah.
You can watch all kinds of, drama from years and years ago. But I've never seen Kung Fu.
Now, what I was going to say to you was, So when I saw old Kane in this film, Kill Bill.
Yes.
And then I saw the advert for it in which Uma Thurman was driving in a car across, I think she was going along the Pacific Coast Highway.
I swear she's wearing like a yellow jumpsuit.
That's right, to find Bill. And then
I didn't actually like that film.
Well, at the start of it, and then she's waving a sword around and she's going to kill Bill.
Right.
But he opens the door. No, he's actually under the caravan, isn't he? Not in the caravan.
I can't remember.
Yeah. So she opens
the
door.
I've tried watching it a few times, and I've never got through it because I hated all that sort of Japanese. What's the name?
Samurai sword.
No, sword. But all the kind of it's not macrame, but there's a name for the Japanese. An animation.
Sake.
No, that's what you drink.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah,
no, but it goes into like cartoons every now and again.
Cartoons? No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it does. It's a bit of like in the midst of a scene, it will suddenly become a cartoon.
No, I didn't know that. I didn't
notice
that.
Because I think the whole point about it is that it's about this Japanese style of art.
Oh, I see.
Which people like to read.
But anyway, what was most ridiculous was he buried her. And he said...
He buries her.
He buries her, doesn't he, in Kill Bill?
Well, you say, doesn't he? I can't remember the film really.
He buries her alive.
Right.
And he says, you can have two things... You can have one of two things in your coffin. You can either have a torch light or... Or I'm going to spray this gas in your eyes, and then you'll be blind as well as
that's not very nice.
You know, as well as sort of imprisoned and all that. So she goes for the light,
yes,
but then ridiculously manages to kick her way out of a coffin six feet under and crawl back to Earth.
Right.
You can't do that. Do you know how much the soil weighs on top of a coffin six
quite
feet
a lot.
Down?
Quite a lot, a
couple of tons,
more than you could be able to ever push it up.
Yeah,
I would imagine.
But nevertheless, I thought, well, that's great. And then Uma Thurman. Anyway, the reason we're talking about this is, and Uma Thurman, she was in Dirty Dogs. What was it called? The other film made
Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction, that's the one.
Yeah, Dirty Dogs. I think that's another film you've seen.
No,
that's not a porn film.
No. That was made by the same guy, wasn't it? Tarantino. Yeah,
Dog Day.
Dog Day Afternoon
was not made by Quentin Tarantino.
Well, he made one with dogs. Straw Dogs.
Yeah, but she wasn't in that either. That was Dustin Hoffman.
Dustin Hoffman, okay.
Yeah, Straw Dogs was about the place down in Cornwall.
Oh, that's right,
where he moved with Susan George.
Was that the first ever public demonstration of what we call a fromby in the trade?
I don't know the movie that well.
It's a fromby.
Yeah,
well, you know.
Well, I think you say that. It's
the
on the record.
The fromby is the from behind.
Well, I've never heard the fromby used ever as a term until you used it,
really?
To be honest. No.
Oh, really? Oh, it was popularly known...
Maybe it's a Chester thing.
No, it's a popularly known sexual... activity.
Well, you can't go around asking a woman you fancy a fromby.
Well, I think you can, because when my mates and I, you know, were sort of 19 in nightclubs and all that, you know, you'd be looking over at some lady and you'd say, "Well, you know, she's fromby material." You see what I mean? But I mean,
well, that's horrible. Though.
No,
that's
it's
disgusting.
No. It was a
see, I would never talk about a woman like that.
It was a term.
Which is
of
why
it,
I've had more experiences with women than you have.
You wouldn't get me saying it.
Really?
You'd get a couple of my mates
really?
In it, and I would then slap them down and say, "No, don't be disrespectful." Yeah, but it's a term of endearment, really. And you know,
okay.
It's always
well, listen,
very
we'll
attractive.
Back, we'll
and,
come back
and
to all this, right?
Yeah,
we'll come back to all this because we've got something very important to tell the people who are listening currently.
Come on, let's tell
them. Right?
Yeah.
Now you know you and I talk about food all the time.
We certainly do.
You know, you are not a man who likes to cook very much at home. You have one
I
or
can
two.
Be tempted.
Well, you have one or two signature dishes, right?
Yes.
But we've actually run a little experiment, and apparently, you've actually found that you are able to cook more than you thought you would.
I did.
Not just because of somebody giving you a decent recipe for something.
Well, I've got the ingredients.
Somebody actually sending you the food.
That's right.
So I mean, we're talking now about a company called HelloFresh.
We are,
right? Now, what HelloFresh do is they basically bring you not only the food that you need to cook.
This box appears on my doorstep.
Appears on your doorstep, right?
Big box.
A big box. But they also bring you the menu of what you're supposed to do. They bring you as well every single small part of the ingredients that you need. So instead of, for example, if you needed to use coconut powder for something, instead of going out and buying a big box of coconut powder, they give you a little, you know, sort of thimbleful of coconut powder.
That's right.
And you managed to actually cook something, didn't you?
Tell us what you cooked. I cooked a shepherd's pie.
Yeah.
And the great thing about it is, you know, when I was a kid, I used to make Airfix aeroplanes. You know,
I didn't know that.
Them together.
I didn't know you when you were a kid.
Yeah. Stick them together with glue and all that kind of stuff. And when you open your...
I never had the patience for that.
When you open your Airfix packet, it's got a list of, you know, the parts that you need.
Okay.
Now, the great thing about this with HelloFresh is that you get a list of all the stuff that, you know, is included in your pack.
That's right.
So, for instance, with the sweet potato cottage pie with roasted broccoli, right? You get the broccoli, obviously.
Roasted broccoli's nice, actually.
But then you get, and it shows you all the bits you get. You get an onion, you get close-cut mushrooms, you get a potato,
so
tomato
they give you
puree.
Absolutely every single thing you need,
Worcester sauce, cheddar cheese.
Right.
Garlic clove, which I actually omitted because I'm not a great garlic fan.
Yeah, but you can do that.
Of course you can.
It's not like it's all... you have to still cook it, so it's not as if you can. Yeah. If you want to leave the garlic out, you can.
That's what I did. Mm. Sweet potato, beef mince, which came, very high quality stuff.
Yeah.
Diced tomatoes.
Right.
The beef stock pot, which I love. And the broccoli, finally.
Yeah.
And put all that together, and I'm telling you...
I'm telling you,
I excelled myself in my ability to do it.
I'll tell you what's good, actually, because I've had a go at this as well, this HelloFresh business. And what's very good
which
is
did
that
you do?
Without wishing to put too fine a point on it, it's very clear in how you actually put it together. They have, on the back of the the recipe that you have, they have pictures and six different stages of what you actually do. One of the things I made was a creamy chicken curry.
Oh, how
now,
was
you
that?
Know that I like to make a curry.
I like a chicken
what
curry.
What I like about this is they put a picture on the front, right, and it says, hand comes on 10 minutes, total time 35 minutes, and it's got two of your five a day in it as well.
Yeah.
It talks about, you know, what you have to do with each particular thing. Now, even I, as a, what I regard as a reasonably good cook, I followed the instructions and I found it really, really easy. What they basically
It's cooking by numbers, isn't it?
It's cooking by numbers, but what they're doing is saying, look, if you're too busy to go shopping, or if you're too busy to actually be bothered to think about a recipe that you need to then go and write down all the ingredients for and go out and buy, what you can do instead is just sign up to HelloFresh, right? And if you try HelloFresh, you will get 50% off your first two boxes using the code, of which we will give you later on.
Right.
Right. And they're all basically pretty family-friendly. You can get vegetarian boxes. You can get meat boxes. You can get something called a rapid box, which is something you can make sure that you can cook in just under about 20 minutes' time. You can get a family box, which is for busy parents. You know, they've got time. And do you know what? My kids really liked it because we were actually giving them food that we wouldn't normally cook.
That's right, right?
So, for example, in some inside some of the boxes, they had a turkey stir fry, which we wouldn't normally cook them, simply seared steaks, pan-fried gnocchi, orzo risotto.
Pan-fried gnocchi?
Pan-fried gnocchi.
Like a bit of gnocchi.
You like a bit of gnocchi, don't you?
Yeah.
Try and keep it clean. It's not actually a family show. But, you know, it's a really, really interesting and new way of shopping and cooking, basically. And it's for people who haven't got a lot of time.
This can teach me to speed cook. Do you know what?
Go on.
First of all, I prep the veggies. Then I brown the beef. Then I make the mash. Then I assemble the pie. Then I roast the broccoli. And guess what? Then I serve it up.
Mm.
So that's brilliant.
Okay, now the promo code that you need is 2, okay? And that is 2. So basically you go to the HelloFresh website, and if you follow us on Twitter at the two mics and at Mike Parrier and at IROMG, we will tell you how to do that. But basically, it's fuss-free, it's fresh food, delivered straight to your door, and basically all you've got to do is follow the instructions.
Excellent.
That's great fun.
That sounds great to me.
I'm going to be doing more of this.
I've had two boxes so far, and each had, I think, three different meals in. I've got through the lot.
Yes.
So I'm doing pretty well.
And you can basically get a subscription to this service, but you can skip it, you can pause it, cancel your subscription any time, which is all out there for you. So it's worth giving it a try.
Of course it is.
And if you don't like it, you know, no, just don't do it anymore.
Do you know what? I don't think you can not like it, if you see what I mean. The pictures themselves are so appealing.
Yeah.
My sister used to be she still is a home economist, right?
Yes.
And one of her jobs was to prepare food, which was then photographed for restaurants, all that kind of stuff, you know. And the very highest quality photography is needed to accentuate the taste of the food.
Yeah.
Because do you know that the picture itself is the first point of call for your decision on what you're going to eat?
Yes.
Not what you've eaten in the past, not what you think you want that day,
right,
but the actual picture says to your brain, there's a trigger in your brain saying, that looks so delicious, I've got to have that. You know what I mean? How many times have you sat down in a restaurant thinking, well, I'll have the fish and chips, and then if there's a menu with pictures on it, you're suddenly saying, actually,
although, do you know
that
what?
Chicken and ham pie looks just the number.
Do you know what, though? Mm. Some people say when you go abroad, particularly when you go abroad, because it's a sort of different type of place, in Spain, in Italy, and in France, if you see a restaurant that's got pictures outside, you sometimes go, well, it looks a bit touristy, doesn't it?
Well, and if only if it says full English breakfast.
No, I'm not talking about that, because they'll just quite often just have, you know, be by a beach somewhere, and the food won't be particularly great. I would say, generally speaking, I would never go to a restaurant that has pictures on the menu.
Well, you say that, but I mean, I've seen some which are very high quality.
But certainly, go to the HelloFresh website, check it out, insert the code, the promo code 2, okay, and just tell them the two mics sent you, and see how you get along. But it's all good stuff.
Absolutely. On the table in 20 minutes if you get the rapid box, which is available in the UK only.
Yeah.
Now, I've had rather a distressing experience, haven't I, lately?
You have, and I want to find out the latest news you can give us, because it was a little while ago now, but I'm sure investigations have been ongoing.
Yes.
You basically claimed that you were mugged.
Wasn't a claim.
You claimed, and I'll put it my way, and then you can fill out the details later.
Yes.
You claimed that you were attacked by two scumbags in the basement or garage of your luxury abode in Surrey.
I call it the underground car park.
All right, the underground car park. Well, I don't know what you call it.
Because, with the roller door.
With the roller door. Mm. You've got all these different terms. I mean, you claim to live in Stockbroker Belt, Surrey, when you and I both know it's a stone's throw from Croydon.
No, it's
which
not.
Is not the Manhattan of the South,
no.
By any stretch of the imagination. These guys apparently put themselves upon you, headbutted you,
scallywags,
punched
scumbags.
You, you know, knocked you to the ground, somehow kicking you, but somehow you managed to fight them off.
Yeah, I did.
You chased them away.
I did.
And they were after your car,
That's right, they were.
But they didn't get your car.
My 60 grand Merc, yeah. gold, and it's a very Carillion, significant...
Is it Carillion Silver?
Carillion Indigo or something like that.
Indigo,
and
I think not.
It's a very That's significant blue. Car. And these scumbags, right, had been riding
did
around.
Did you deduce any kind of accent that they had? Was it a sort of South East London accent or
I would Northern say, accent? I'd say very local to where I was.
Really?
No, London, a South accent. No. But I mean, it was the old,
not
you know,
foreign.
Give us your effing keys. Give us your effing keys. And the little scumbag who was trying to punch me,
yes.
I just literally patted off his punches
and
gave him one in the face.
Yes.
And you know what it is, Mike? Mm. It's true. They tried on and they tried to frighten people.
Yes.
The scooter they came and tried to terrorise me with, I think it'd been stolen half an hour earlier,
right? Yeah.
From a bloke who was threatened with a hammer.
Right.
I don't think I got hit with a hammer.
Well, I think you'd know if you got hit with a hammer.
I think you would, yeah.
I mean, even if you were knocked out, you would still have a bloody great hammer mark on
the top
of your head.
Oh, yes, I totally agree.
Yeah.
And what happened to ours, when I made it absolutely clear, you're not getting it.
Yeah.
Give us your keys. I said, no, you're not getting the keys.
Yeah.
Where are the keys? And he started reaching into my pocket, you know. So I used to elbow him then, you know. And said,
you give him the elbow,
pocket,
yeah, okay.
You filthy peasant, you know. And And his mate, by this time, on the front of the bike, was revving it, i.e., come on, let's get out of here.
Yeah.
He wanted to get out. Because I said
Why didn't he come and help him beat you up?
Because he was the getaway driver, so he had to sit on the bike. Because I told them I'd rung the police.
Yes.
I was smarter than the average bear.
I see.
When I first went into my garage and these two appeared, and they tried to pretend that they were looking
for a parking
space.
What were they wearing, by
the way? They were wearing...
They were given a full description.
They were wearing...
I mean, I know they were wearing crash helmets.
Crash helmets.
Else? All in black?
Black leather or black leatherish or, you know, faux
Leatherette.
Leather.
Maybe it's faux leather.
Yeah, faux leather jackets.
Faux leather jackets.
I don't know what the kid sitting on the bike wore, but the other guy wore jeans.
Trainers, were they wearing, or shoes, boots?
I don't know, because the only look I got at their shoes was when they were doing my ribs in.
I thought you were on the ground looking at them.
Well, I was.
You didn't notice their shoes? If I was on the ground, I'd be looking at somebody's shoes.
Yeah, well, their shoes were going into my ribs and that kind of stuff.
Really?
You know, but anyway.
You must be horribly bruised.
I roll with the punches, because I always do. I learned that from the age of six, when I was Butlin's boxing champion at the age of six.
When your dad was kicking you around in the chalet.
I was sparring with
sparring.
My dad at the age of six, you know, in the Butlin's boxing ring in Pithelli.
Some of these details, by the way, seem to be changing over time.
No, not changing.
So I'm slightly concerned
changing.
You know, you may be making all of this up.
No, not at all. But anyway, once they realise that you're not getting anywhere, I'm smarter than the average bear. When I first saw them approach, the thing I did was immediately put my phone to my ear.
Oh, yeah.
I thought they were just a couple of scumbags who were trying their hand, and the minute they saw there was nothing there, would get lost.
Yes.
And so when they started laying into me, I said...
And so were they hearing you when you were saying, I'm talking to the police now?
No, because I was locked inside my car
and
refused to get out.
Well, they might not have known who you were calling. You could have been calling her for assistance, for all they know.
Yeah.
Like
a
bouncer or something.
Yeah, well, I said, you know I've made a car. I said, I called the police, I'll be here.
Yeah.
I said, you can't take my car, you don't have to drive. I said,
you'll never take my freedom.
You'll never take my Mercedes. And I said, even if you got out into the driveway, Carl, you'd find a police car coming the other way.
Right.
So if I were you, I'd...
Also, to be honest,
off.
If he did drive away...
Tell them to F
did
off a couple of
to
times.
To be honest,
yeah.
if you did drive your car away, there's a pretty good chance you get a puncture before it gets to the end of the road anyway.
Well, there are no punctures in this one now, because I've made safeguards against the puncture. Definitely, yeah.
Yeah,
definitely.
All right.
Right.
Well, that's good. So tell us what's happened now then.
Well
have they caught them yet? Or
well,
what?
I can, real exclusively, I believe there's a bit of da 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 Jack Regan.
Jack Regan's
because, now, is the Flying Squad still going?
I don't think so.
I think it is.
I mean, the Flying Squad was a massive thing back in the 70s. I was once interviewed by the Flying
Squad. SPG, the Special Patrol Group. That was another one. They used to go around beating people up with
truncheons. Well, the problem with the Special Patrol Group was
that
they kept going around beating the same people up.
That's
and they
happened
to have to be black.
Yeah,
so that didn't work too well. So they did away with that because they were pretty bad racists. Now, the thing about the Sweeney is that I was once interviewed by the Sweeney. I was thrilled.
Yeah.
Came to my house.
Yeah, really?
And interviewed me. Yeah, because you might remember back in the days of the IRA's bombing campaign, I used to go to school in Holland Park.
Yes.
My school was just off the bottom of Holland Park Avenue in Addison Road, near Notting Hill, basically. And there was a cancer surgeon who walked his dog in one of those squares. You know Camden Square?
Yeah, I do know Camden Square.
Which is
Square.
Sort of
yes,
off Holland Park Avenue.
Yes,
I'm sorry to sound so Londonist here.
No.
It's a very technical, it's very sort of highfalutin
and
part
it,
of London.
Did it have a communal garden in the middle?
It did, exactly right.
Right, with railings.
It did. Mm. And this guy...
You got a key if you're a
That's
resident.
Exactly right, And this guy was a very well-renowned cancer surgeon.
Yeah.
And God knows why the IRA targeted him, but they did.
Mm.
And he had a poodle, right? And he goes out to walk his poodle one morning.
They targeted him because of his brother, didn't they? guy. Wasn't it? Are you talking about Norris Werter? And,
No, that was the Guinness Book of Records guy.
Yeah, that's
Norris
right.
Norris
yeah.
Werter.
Yeah,
no, they were like twins or something, weren't they?
Yeah, that's
anyway,
right, yeah.
No, this was completely separate to that. But it was during, like, they obviously had made a decision, the IRA, to target high profile people from different walks of life.
Yeah, sure.
I don't think he had any connection at all to any kind of IRA situation.
Right.
Anyway, he took his poodle out for a walk one morning, and I was actually walking to school.
Right.
And I remember hearing this terrible noise, which I'd never heard before.
Yeah.
And it was the noise of a bomb, and it was actually a crop.
I thought it might be the noise of a cash machine.
Well, actually, somebody died in this story,
so you can be funny
if you want about it, but, you know, I'm afraid.
It was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago. So, anyway, his dog sniffs around under the car, sets off the bomb.
Right.
Because they put a bomb under his car.
Right.
And he didn't know that, right?
Right.
Anyway, so I heard this crump, and I've never heard an explosion before. I was only about, I don't know, 14 or 15 years of age. And walked off to school and then found out later, it was literally about three blocks
you'd
away
heard a
from,
bomb go off.
From where I was. So the next day, I'm walking the same route to school, and these guys are all there, these guys in plain clothes, talking to people going past and asking them if anyone saw anything. And I said, well, actually, I saw, because I did, I'd noticed about... The previous week for 3 days, and you never saw this in any other place. There was a white sort of transit van parked in that square.
Right.
And I said that normally I used to always look at cars. I said there's never been a white transit van there before, and it's gone, and it wasn't there this week. But last week it was there for about 3 days.
Right.
And they said, oh, that's very interesting. Did you happen to notice the registration? I said, well, not really. Anyway, next thing I know, they ring my parents and say, we'd like to come and interview your son. So they came. These two guys came up to the flat that my parents had, and they sat me down and interviewed me. And when they told me they were from the flying squad, I was thrilled.
Was the Sweeney then running on telly, or was it years
later?
Yeah,
it was,
It was,
I said, Jack Regan they looked exactly like Regan.
Sergeant Carter.
Yeah, they had sort of, dodgy-looking suits.
Loose ties.
Yeah, I know. Smoking.
Yeah, and wide lapels on their jackets.
It was a fantastic
Probably
experience.
Probably swigging a large whiskey.
A bottle of whiskey in the car.
Right, yeah.
I was absolutely thrilled. But the thing that really surprised me, I was about 14, and they interviewed me in my bedroom on my own.
Right.
Without my parents being there.
Wow. Couldn't do that these days.
I don't think you could do that now.
No, you wouldn't do that these days, no.
Anyway, sorry, that was my
experience. Well, no, but that's...
So the equivalent of the Sweeney now are on the case.
Yes, OK, yeah, they are, And they think that these cars might be getting stolen to order, you see.
Oh, really?
And because, well, when you think about it, a 19-year-old kid takes away a £60,000 car in the middle of the night, where does he take it?
Yeah.
Because by the time light comes up, it's obvious that there's a car, so you've got to put it away somewhere.
If you're going to nick a car, and lots of cars now have immobilisers, they don't, you know, by remote control, you can turn the engine off.
Yeah.
So you've either got to move it somewhere pretty quick.
Yeah.
But if you're a kid like that, you're not going to be able to, say, walk into a pub and go, does anybody want to buy a Mercedes?
No, of course not. No, exactly.
It doesn't work like that.
No, exactly.
So you're saying that there's some kind of organisation behind this?
Well, who knows, you know, but I mean, I don't want to say too much about it because, I mean, you know, it could have the Official Secrets Act problem, you know what I mean?
Well, you don't want to give away too much information.
No. Now, let me tell you, you talk about these bombs and IRA and all that kind of stuff. Of course, I spent 18 months in Ireland, right?
You did.
So I want to say to these scumbags, okay?
Yeah.
They didn't get me in Ireland when I was dodging petrol bombs for 18 months, dodging rubber bullets, and, you know, putting myself at risk against some of the worst urban terrorists in the world.
Yes.
Known as the IRA and the UDA.
And the UDA,
UDA.
Yeah, it was the UDA.
No, UDA was was it UDA?
No, the UDA were the Prods, the Protestants.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, of course. Yeah, but what was the...
There was the UVF.
Ulster Volunteer Force, that's right, and all that kind of stuff. So, so let me tell you...
RUC?
The RUC was the official, like, Royal Ulster Constabulary, you know.
I still can't get used to the fact that they now call it the
Police Service of Northern Ireland.
PSNI.
Yeah, the Police Service of Northern Ireland. PSNI. Well, that's because, of course, at one time, they didn't allow Catholics to join the Royal Ulster Constabulary.
No, exactly.
It was amazing. But anyway, so having, you know, laughed in the face of mass urban terrorism, having, again... You know, caught the bullet between my teeth when the United States Air Force tried to bomb me in Libya, right? Blew off the...
Have you ever thought you might be a target for these kind of people?
Blew off the two floors above me in the hotel, which was next to a satellite communications base in Tripoli.
Yes.
When President Reagan,
Ronald Reagan,
my heroes,
man
who invented trickle-down economics.
Well, he didn't really invent it, actually.
He did.
Did he not actually just sort of adopt it?
Well, he read it...
From Milton Friedman.
No, it was some other economist whose name I've got who said, look, Mr. President, the less taxes you take, the more taxes you will accumulate.
Yes.
He said, what do you mean? He said, if you reduce taxes, more people pay their taxes.
Yeah.
That means you get more money in their revenue. More people get more money in their pockets. They stimulate the economy.
Well, he believed,
I know what I'm doing.
He believed the idea that if you give people more money to keep, then they will actually spend it more wisely than the government will.
Exactly.
Which is very true, actually.
So anyway.
All the government does is waste your bloody money.
That's right. So Reagan, I thought, was a good president, decided that after a...
Although, of course, he can't remember some years after he's left the presidency that he ever was the president.
Well, that's a very cruel and harsh thing to say.
Well,
the man had Alzheimer's.
Yeah, I know.
He died years ago.
How is it cruel?
Well, how dare you talk about one of the world's great leaders.
Hang on, you just laughed at a cancer surgeon. You got blown up by the IRA.
No, I didn't laugh at anybody.
You did.
Gets blown up by the IRA. Anyway, the point of the story is, and he was a good president because he looked after American interests abroad. So a bunch of soldiers...
Gorbachev, tear down that wall. Or was it this wall?
No, what was Gorbachev's first name?
Mikhail.
He said, Mikhail.
No, he said, Mr. Gorbachev, I know the clip.
Yeah, I know that, but I'm telling you another quote now. Yeah. He also said when they met in Iceland, Mikhail, I can tell you... I can tell you, for every Russian ruble you spend on defence... I will spend 10 US dollars.
Right.
And of course, that meant 100 US dollars because the ruble was worthless. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's.
Well, they bankrupted themselves, didn't
they? Yeah, of course they did. Gorbachev knew the game was up. He said, we can't afford this anymore.
Yeah.
And but anyway, so Reagan, having learned that American soldiers had been injured and killed in a bomb attack on a disco somewhere in Germany.
It was Berlin, wasn't it?
I think
it was Berlin.
No, it wasn't, because Berlin was still behind the Iron Curtain then. I mean, they had
American
sector.
Wasn't.
Yeah, West Berlin, yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was Berlin.
But it might have been, you might be right. He said, who's responsible for this? Got all his intelligence chiefs in. They said, it's Gaddafi.
Yeah.
He said, right, we're going after him.
Right.
And do you know what?
And that was post-Lockerbie, I suppose, wasn't it?
That was post-Lockerbie. Mm. Now, the filthy French, okay?
That's a bit harsh.
The filthy French.
I don't regard the French as filthy.
Who are not really filthy, to be honest.
Well, no,
this is an
encouraging expression. Stereotypes.
No, I like French people, don't worry. Women are lovely. And
what about David Ginola, your great mate?
I love David, he's great. Yeah. But the filthy French on this occasion... the planes that bombed me in Tripoli
They didn't just bomb you, did they?
Well, I mean, I was only worried about me. I wasn't really worried about anybody else.
Didn't you try and pretend to be Irish or something to get away?
I did, yeah. I'm Irish, because they were threatening to hang.
You do an imitation of Brendan Rodgers to save your life.
That's right,
I'm telling you.
I'm Irish.
I'm an excellent manager.
Because once the bombs started falling upon Tripoli, all the Revolutionary Guard came dashing up the stairs in the hotel that we were all staying in, banging the drums and going, down, Thatcher.
Yes.
Down, Thatcher.
Because they knew that the planes had come from RAF Lakenheath.
This is the very point.
Yeah.
So down, Thatcher. You know, first of all, it was down, Reagan.
Yeah.
Down, Reagan. Then somebody whispered in his ear, planes actually came from Britain.
Yeah.
Oh, down, Thatcher.
Right.
Down, Thatcher.
Yeah.
So then they came up and they were going to threaten to take us out in the streets and hang us from lampposts, right?
Blimey.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
It's a bit of a worry.
Well, it's a bit of a worry because all the electricity had gone out. It was all dark,
right.
You know. Because when you bomb a hotel, you usually put out the lights, you know what I mean?
That's right.
So anyway, as they were taking us down the stairs, dragging us down the stairs by the hair, you know, I do admit that I had a moment of weakness.
Yeah.
And they said, you can't touch me, I'm Irish,
right.
I'm Irish. You know, and because there were a couple of Irish
Mike
guys there. Mike O'Parry. I'm from County Kerry, and you've got to take your hands off me.
Mick O'Parry.
The Taoiseach will be terribly upset about this, and we won't send you any more Kerry gold. Do you understand me?
They're not big butter eaters in Libya, are they?
They're not big food eaters at all.
Really?
The food
What's
every
the
night...
What's the local delicacy?
The Al Kabir Hotel, which he stayed in, every night the menu was the same.
Right.
Fish heads or chicken.
Fish heads?
Fish heads or chicken.
How can you eat fish heads?
Well, you know, a bit of fish without the heads taken off, you know what I mean?
Oh, fish head less.
Yes,
fish.
Yes, that's right, yes.
Well, it's not fish heads then.
Well, I mean, they look like fish heads. All the eyes kept staring at you.
And if the fish did have heads?
Yeah, the fish did have heads. Yes,
That's
it. It did. Yes, yes.
Dear.
And the eyes were staring at you. Didn't like that.
No.
Or chicken, and that was it. You know, the food was awful. Didn't get a drink for 6 weeks because all alcohol's banned in Libya, and the only place we'd get a drink was the British Embassy, but that was closed down.
Mm.
So we had one guy
You should always look for the Irish Embassy in those places.
Funny you should say that, but there was a guy called Hugh Donaghy.
Oh yeah,
was the only diplomat left in Libya. The reason they sent him there is the godforsaken hole because he was single, right? We didn't have an embassy, so he lived in the ambassador's residence and worked from there, an office in the Italian embassy.
Right.
But he was so pleased to see the influx of correspondents from Britain.
Yeah.
He invited us all round on the day that his monthly supply of booze came in.
Oh, excellent.
Came once a month.
Very good.
Case of gin, case of whiskey. He got so smashed out of his head because
right.
he hadn't had a drink for a month
right.
that he ripped several times the snooker table beige, you know.
How
he was
the
trying
other
to
half
play snooker,
live.
Yeah. And
half cut.
He literally kept walking into walls.
Yeah.
He would turn round. See that door there?
He was the Irish ambassador, this guy.
No, no. He was the sole British representative.
Oh,
he was the British consulate. Mm. But he lived in the ambassador's residence.
I see.
Which had fallen into dilapidation. Mm. There was no water in the swimming pool and all that kind of stuff, you know.
Why didn't the Revolutionary Guard try and, like, burn the place down?
Because then we would have to have taken a diplomatic, you know, act against
yes,
them.
Right.
And maybe we would have ended up bombing them or something.
Right.
We had airplanes in
Mind
those
you,
days.
The Libyan embassy in London had already been part of that massive
siege,
hadn't it? Where they shot the police officer dead.
Yeah. No, well, that was the Iranian embassy.
No, no. The Libyan embassy was Yvonne Fletcher.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Fletcher was shot from somebody inside the Libyan embassy.
Yeah, that is absolutely right.
A member of the British Metropolitan Police Force.
That's absolutely right. But anyway, what I was going to say to you was, see this door exit to this studio?
I do, yeah. I'm thinking of going through it, actually.
Yeah. Well, you would open it and then walk straight into the door frame.
Oh, yeah.
He couldn't coordinate getting through a door because he was getting that pissed, you know, because he had so much to drink.
Well, I guess if you're on your own in Libya, not much else to do, really, is
it? Not much else to do at all. But anyway, the point of the story is, so they didn't stop me. Mm. The IRA and the UDA and the paramilitaries in Ireland didn't stop me. So I'm in Israel in the Bekaa Valley.
Okay.
And dodging shells from Israeli tanks who were firing at the...
That's the IDF, isn't it? The Israeli Defence Force.
IDF, absolutely. Israeli Defence Force, who were firing shells over my head at the Palestinian Liberation Organisation, the PLO.
PLO, yes.
By the way,
crowd.
The PLO, who sound like, you know, a sort of a protest group and like that. They had 200 tanks.
Mm.
I mean, the PLO were a massively well-funded and organised army in the Middle East.
But for them, it's still not enough, because it's the Israelis will always have more tanks than the Palestinians.
Well, the Americans send them all their tanks. Mm. And sometimes, I remember once driving from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem and then beyond, further up into a place, actually another town called Tripoli in the Lebanon, but not the same Tripoli as Libya. And we went for 40 miles alongside a convoy of IDF tanks, guns, lorries.
What, stationary?
No, all on low loaders being driven up to engage what they call the War of the Sea of Galilee to finally try and push the PLO out of Israel altogether and back into the Lebanon, you know. In fact, out of the Lebanon altogether as well.
Yeah.
But anyway, and the shells would sometimes drop short in the Bekaa Valley and fall near to my head.
I see.
So they didn't stop me either.
Okay.
So US Air Force, the IDF forces, the IRA, the UDA, so if two little punk scallywag bums think they're going to terrify and terrorise the portmeister, I've got news for them.
Got some news for them.
Yeah, just go and F yourself, pal.
Get lost.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not interested.
Yeah, yeah.
Bugger off.
Yeah, that's it.
This is on the record.
It is.
They obviously had made a decision, the IRA, to target high-profile people from different walks of life.
Yeah, sure.
I don't think he had any connection at all to any kind of IRA situation.
Right.
Anyway, he took his poodle out for a walk one morning, and I was actually walking to school.
Right.
And I remember hearing this terrible noise, which I'd never heard before.
Yeah.
And it was the noise of a bomb, and it was actually a crop.
I thought it might be the noise of a cash machine.
Well, actually, somebody died in this story,
so you could be funny
if you want about it, but, you know, I'm afraid.
It was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago.
So Reagan, I thought, was a good president, decided that after a...
Although, of course, he can't remember some years after he's left the presidency that he ever was the president.
Well, that's a very cruel and harsh thing to say.
Well,
the man had Alzheimer's.
Yeah, I know.
He died years ago.
How is it cruel?
Well, how dare you talk about
You just laughed at a cancer surgeon. You got blown up by the IRA.
No, I didn't laugh at anybody.
You did.
Gets blown up. The Al Kabir Hotel, which he stayed in, every night the menu was the same.
Right.
Fish heads or chicken.
Fish heads?
Fish heads or chicken.
How can you eat fish heads?
Well, you know, a bit of fish without the heads taken off, you know what I mean?
Oh,
you
so fish head less.
Yes,
fish.
Yes, that's right, yes.
Well, it's not fish heads then.
Well, I mean, they look like fish heads. All the eyes kept staring at you. You put me off.
So the fish did have heads?
Yeah, the fish did have heads. Yes, that's it. It did. Yes, yes.
Dear.
And the eyes were staring at you. I didn't like that.
No.
Or chicken, and that was it. You know, the food was awful. Didn't get a drink for 6 weeks. Just go and F yourself, pal.